Lord, with a word of prayer, and we're going to get started. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you have set aside for us. We thank you, Lord, for your very presence this morning. We thank you for how you just enrich us with the fullness of your presence through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you speak to us now as individuals and as a group. Speak to us according to your word, what you would have us to take away for today, and not just during this time, but all day long as we get involved with looking to you, seeking after you, hearing the words from Gus's message, hearing conversation later in the Bible study this afternoon. Lord, we know that you can do all things and that you readily want us to have a close and vibrant relationship with you. We pray that we continue to seek after you and learn more about you. Allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify us with your truth, because indeed your word is truth. And we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody, turn your Bibles and electronic devices to Titus chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. We are going to cover the second part of Titus, and it is an interesting passage, and we have aspects of Christian living that we're going to be looking at here in this passage that really need to be addressed. And this is the challenge that all of us believers have. You know, the believers, we understand all these things that we are going to be talking about here in this section about behaviors and how to look at how to behave a certain way. And we all recognize these things as we have the discussion about it and how it takes place. But man, when we leave Sunday school or when we leave church and we get into the world, we are challenged to make sure that we remember these teachings. That is what we have to understand here too. It's really amazing to me how many people just lose control and just lose it when it comes to life in general. If something bad happens, the way they respond to it in many ways is just appalling. It's like you just lost all sense of understanding. You've lost all sense of goodness. You've lost all sense of grace. These are things that we need to understand, that Satan does a very good job of distracting not just non-believers, but believers as well, too. Well, non-believers, he pretty much has in his own hands. It's the people who are believers that need to really focus on these things like self-control, which is what we talked about last week in the passage. But let's read verses 9 through 15 of Titus chapter 2. Starting with verse 9, this is the New Living Translation, just for ease of reading purposes. And follow along in your own version. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. Then they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive in every way. Verse 11, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. Verse 13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Verse 14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, and to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Verse 15, you must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. All right, that's Paul's words to Titus in his letter. It's Titus chapter 2, verses 9 through 15. And let's go back to verse 9, which, again, understanding just as a reminder, what we covered last week when we looked at Titus, we talked about the certain ways to treat certain groups of people in the church. The older men, the older women, the younger men, younger women, and a lot of that had to do with respecting the individual, respecting the words that are being spoken, respecting their wisdom and knowledge. Because let's face it, you know, the older we are, the more knowledge we usually have, typically, as far as how we can impart wisdom to others. And we also wanted to make sure that Paul was mentioning here too, you're teaching the truth, God's word. It is the truth. And we want to do that in such a way where you can't be ashamed of what you're saying. You're being very consistent with the word, and you're imparting this truth and wisdom for others so that they can do the same when they speak to others about Jesus Christ. Back to verse 9. Slaves must always obey their masters and do their best to please them. They must not talk back or steal, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy. Then they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. Now, we've talked about this before. I'm going to mention it very briefly because I don't think it's worth dwelling upon too much. But slavery was very common in that day. And one of the things that was important for Paul to do, I really believe this too, because it was so prominent and so prevalent, and because we had those different types of class structures back at that time, we need to recognize that it's as a practical matter, if he were to condemn slavery and speak to it and in such a negative way, it would probably hamper his message of the gospel. See, this is what we have to understand about being pragmatic about the times that we're referring to here. And we need to understand these things too. It was so prominent and prevalent that there was no, it really wouldn't be helpful to the gospel, because I really believe if God wanted that to be communicated, he would have communicated it. But the pragmatic situation here is that God is trying to reach all people, regardless of their stature, no matter where they are, no matter where they come from, whether they be slaves or free. So we need to understand the pragmatism behind that. And, you know, I welcome anyone to, you know, comment on that if they believe that is not really the case. But this really was an important issue for us to understand here. What is more important, communicating the gospel and talking about Jesus, or speaking about the truth of the word, or is it much more important for you to condemn acts of behavior? Well, that does take place in Scripture now. Let's face it. The slave owners were not to abuse the slaves, and the slaves were not to steal. And we're going to look at this here. That's exactly what was being said here about what slaves need to do to obey their masters and do their best to please them. And of course, the same parallel is made that we compare it to employer-employee relationships. I don't dwell on that too much because I think that sometimes we can stretch it a little bit too far. But in all honesty, we want to make sure that slaves and masters are doing what they need to do to make sure that they're getting along well and the conduct is appropriate. Take a look real quick at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 9. And once again, these things are being said to reiterate what's being said already. These were the comments that Paul made to the Ephesian church in the same way. And again, just saying that slavery was widespread. And so how are we talking about dealing with interpersonal relationships with others? And so is there application here between those of us who are not involved with slavery? Certainly there is. You treat everybody the way they should be treated. You be respectful of everyone, no matter where they are, what they're doing. So let's look at this. Ephesians 6, chapter 5. Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers. See this? But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's what we're looking at here. This behavior here is very applicable to who we are as a people. We must be looking at this for what it is. Verse 7 in Ephesians 6, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Your servant is the Lord Jesus Christ in all that you do, whether you're at work or at home. And that's what we need to understand here. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both your master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. That's the caution for those people who have slaves. And if they're masters, they still have to behave in such a way that they're honoring Christ. That's quite a radical statement to make. This is the point I'm making here about how radical this statement is about behaviors and how to treat people. Because, of course, you, as you can imagine, back then, People were mistreating slaves. People were not honoring slaves. Slaves were doing whatever they could behind their back to try to get ahead in whatever way, shape, or form. And Paul is saying in both of these instances here in Titus and also in Ephesians, stop it. That's not appropriate behavior. There's a way for you to behave. There's a way for you to do things so that you're going to be giving honor to who? The Lord God in all things. That's what it says again in verse 10. But must show, back in Titus 2, but must show themselves to be entirely trustworthy and good. That's what you have to do. You have to show yourselves to be trustworthy and good. Then they'll make the teaching about God our Savior attractive in every way. Guess what? Slaves are talking to other slaves too. Masters are talking to other masters. The teaching of Christ must not be compromised because of your bad behaviors or the things that you're doing. And we need to keep that in mind too. Employees should always work their best, do their best work, be trustworthy, not just when the employer is watching, not just when the boss is in the same room. You know, how hard is it sometimes to find people who can be trusted because they have to do things the right way only when the boss is present? That's just not practical sometimes. Sometimes the boss is not going to be present. Guess what? In a remote environment, as we've been over the past year or so, the boss hasn't been present. Guess what had to take place, though? The workers had to still do the work. The people involved in the front lines had to still do what was necessary to get the job done because there's no one standing over them. And that's the important factor that I think a lot of companies are realizing, too, as we get to this point of in our lives where we can now do some work from home and be just as productive, if not more productive, than we were in the office. And so we've seen a lot of changes recently as far as how companies are even treating this very thing for the purposes of knowing that employees were doing their work and they were really enjoying doing their work and not having to worry about things like commutes or going back and forth and worrying about traffic and driving on 480, amen and amen and amen. All those things that have been taking, all those things that have been taking place where you're spending more time in the car than you are at work sometimes, which is just a really bad thing. But we're saying here, the point is that employees can do the work as they honor Christ. And that's what the work is all about. You're doing your work so that you're honoring the Lord and not just men. Of course, there's a blessing if you do the work and the man recognizes it and you get raises and bonuses and all those wonderful things that come with that. But the bottom line is that we need to make sure that we're doing what Paul is advising here, and how that just will continue to make companies, situations like this, as we make this transformation from being in a pandemic to being in a place where now we have flexibility. See, that's a blessing. Those are blessings that come because God is honoring those who truly are focusing on Him and seeking after Him. It's a blessing. So I don't know if you look at it that way, but that's the way I look at it. I mean, we're still living in the world, but there in the midst of living in the world, there are blessings that take place because we're honoring Christ. And we're doing so without having somebody looking over our shoulder or looking directly at us in the face and wondering what we're doing. God is honoring that right now by showing flexibility. Remember, before the pandemic, there was virtually no flexibility. There was no way that we would ever be able to have something like this. So this is a big deal, everyone. So stay focused on what God is teaching here in His Word about making sure that you're not talking back, not stealing, not taking from someone else, truly honoring Christ in secret, in private, okay? I mean, these are all things that we need to understand as we look at this. Okay. And when we look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11, Paul is reminding us about God's goodness and how much He has shown to us. We have information. We are privy to things that obviously the old prophets in the Old Testament were not privy to. We have this total grace that's been revealed through salvation because Christ came and died on the cross for us. We have much more that we are dealing with here because we have this information and we act upon it. And so that's what it says in verse 11, Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. All people, slave or free, all people of all colors, all races, all people that we are aware of, male and female, we are all free in Christ if we follow Christ. And so the gospel simplifies a lot of convoluted stuff that comes out in the world today. We have a lot of people who don't know the Lord and are still seeking after the whatever is truth in their own mind. And unfortunately, what happens with that is that you have a lot of confusion in the world today. And do yourself a favor. Don't get caught up in that confusion. Stay focused on what Jesus Christ is doing. Remember, Christ died on the cross for all people, everybody. No matter how well that person knows Christ or how confused that person is about Christ, they are all in the same bucket. They're all in the same boat. We need to be praying for individuals who are struggling with understanding who they are, understanding what they are, understanding what life is about. Pray for protection from Satan. Satan is very deceptive. Satan will continue to cloud the minds of those individuals who are trying to seek after truth. And unfortunately, that's what takes place all the time now. So are you praying outside of your own needs? Are you looking to the Lord and praying for individuals in your life who truly need to experience His goodness? It should be a daily prayer for you to pray for people that are within your circle of people that you know who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Please keep those individuals in prayer. Please keep lifting those individuals up in prayer. God hears the prayers of the righteous. It matters when you're praying for those individuals who are seeking after you. And it's also mentioned, go real quick to 2 Chronicles. Well, I'm thinking about it. 2 Chronicles, I believe it's the verse where it's where Solomon's praying for, let me see if I can find it here. Make sure I get the right. It's about Solomon, let's see, 7, chapter 7, that's not right. It's the verse where he's seeking after, if the righteous will just stop and pray. Yes. I blacked out on the it's verses, it may be 7, 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, I think that's it.
Yep, 2 Chronicles 7,
14. Yep, just want to make sure I had it right. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. That's what I wanted. Sorry about that. Just had a brief memory block. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, this is in the midst of Solomon finishing the temple and going to the Lord. And of course, this verse is followed by other verses that are very pointed, and they point basically back to Solomon as well, too. But the takeaway here is to look at what this verse is saying. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, get down before the Lord, before you start thinking you're more important than somebody else, humble yourself before the Lord, and He'll show you. You got your own work to do. Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And this is not just being a Christian in speech, but being a Christian in actions, where you're turning away from those things that are keeping you away from fellowship with the Lord. You're getting those things away from your life or out of your life. You're turning away from your wicked ways, the things that are contrary to what Christ is teaching. Get them out of your life. That is what we need to be doing as a people, as we seek the Lord. Then I will hear from heaven. Because remember, there's a conditional statement here in this passage. Then, after you do those things, humble yourself, pray and seek His face, turn from your wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It's a conditional statement in this verse. So please keep that in mind as we look at this passage and look at our own behaviors as we are looking at this. And so let's go back to Titus chapter 2 and look what it says in verse 12. And we are instructed to what? Turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. Saying the same thing. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God. While we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He is going to be revealed to us again, revealed to us in a way that we will see him when he makes his second coming and his return. But look at all the things that we have to be responsible for. He is making sure that we're understanding the important aspect of Christian living. We have to turn away from godless living, turn away from sinful pleasures, turn away from evil desires. Focus on Christ. Take those things that are distractions of Satan for your life and remove them from your life. So thank you for allowing me to go through all that and wrestle with that passage to make sure that I'm saying it correctly and giving you the right one. But ultimately what it comes down to is that we've got to look at how to live for Christ and do so not just with words, but with actual words, but with actual deeds. That's what we need to see here. That's what's most important for us to look at. There are aspects of Christian living that we need to take part in. And we need to make sure that we're doing those things that are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? How do we live for Christ now and today? Well, we frankly avoid those things that will cause us to stumble, or avoid those things that cause us to lose focus. And that could be a lot of stuff. Amen? That could be TV stuff. That could be music. I'm going to mention music very briefly, only because music is something that is really, really subtle in how it can distract you. I can't stress enough how important it is for you to be very, very careful about the music you choose to listen to. For those of you who like hip-hop, you better make sure you're doing some proper editing. It is very subtle, the words that are being used in hip-hop. It's not appropriate. In many cases, it certainly does not honor Christ, unless it's those songs that are Christian rappers or something, you know, that type of thing. If you want to listen to that, that sounds okay to me, but just make sure that it's honoring the Lord Jesus Christ as you go. But we want to make sure that we're living in such a way where we're avoiding those things that are taking us away from God's focus, and that's a lot of stuff. I think that it's important for you to be reading books that are helpful as far as understanding more about living in a good way. It tells good stories that encourage you. Watch the material that you look at. I'm not a big fan of the news right now, and I haven't been for quite some time because I don't believe that the news is necessarily doing anything that is informing you, per se, to help you live a beneficial life. I think, if anything, there's a lot of messages there and messaging that if you're not careful about it, you can wind up in a place that puts you less dependent upon God and more dependent upon what the world is doing. Be very cautious of those things. This is just my opinion. It's nothing more or less than that. But I think if you really look at it for what it is, unless you're looking at programming like the preachers on the TV, or looking at programs that are truly helping you to grow personally, then there's not much beneficial in what's on TV right now. And that's been going on for a long time. There was a reason why they called it the boob tube back in the day, okay? That term was 50 years ago when they were using the term boob tube. But yet, the boob tube was basically a way where you could put kids in front of the TV and just let them stare at the screen. And it was giving parents more of an out as far as babysitting purposes. That's kind of what it was all about. That's what happened back at that time. So I'm just giving you a heads up on that. We need to be very aware of that. So what are we doing to look forward to Christ's return? Are you looking forward to Jesus' return? Every day that we go by, that goes by, we are one day closer to Christ's return. And I say that because I'm not saying that Christ's return is going to be tomorrow or any time this week, for that matter, that's upcoming. The reality is, though, is that every day that goes by, we are one day closer to his return. That is a fact. There is no other way to look at that. So what are you doing to prepare for Christ's return? Are you prepared to be with him? Are you prepared to be with him? Are you prepared to fellowship with him, not just in prayer and with words, but now in person? That's one thing to look forward to. His very presence will be not just a spiritual presence, but a physical presence, something that we need to understand. That's one thing to look forward to. We, of course, know that our sin has been redeemed. And now, as we continue to live and grow in Christ, and as the Holy Spirit teaches us, We already have the salvation because we trust in him, but now as he teaches us and he sanctifies us and gives us greater and greater understanding and knowledge and wisdom in our relationship with him, there is going to be a crescendo that takes place where we'll be perfect in Christ. We'll be with him when he returns. That perfection will be realized at that point. So that's another thing to look forward to. And frankly, the restoration of all creation. We are living in a sinful world right now. We live in a fallen world. But yet when Christ returns, his complete rule of grace, where he will rule, that also will be a restoration of the creation. In other words, there won't be any issues about our fallen nature that we have to reckon with. So all these things are things to look forward to when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. And I want you to pray about that too, because we need to understand that we're living each day for Christ in such a way where we're giving honor to him, and that we are glorifying him. And that is exactly what this is all about. That's what we need to be paying attention to here. Okay, so that's what we should be looking forward to. And we should be looking as we're living for him to make sure that we're doing what's necessary to live for him. We want to build his kingdom. We want to speak the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ to all those who are within the sound of our voice. We want to make sure that people know that we are Christians, that we do speak for Christ. Understand something. There are a lot of people who are out there speaking for whatever they believe in, and we shouldn't have to try to drown anybody out, but we need to get in the game and be there and speak about Christ. That's another thing too. Don't underestimate what God is doing in your life and working through you as you live for Christ, because he again is going to open up pathways and doors for you that he's not opening up for other people. He is making sure that people who need to hear the truth about Christ are in your midst at some point in your life. That's what we need to understand here too. So don't waste a moment thinking that God's not doing anything. God's not preparing. Well, that's a trick from Satan. God is doing a lot. God is doing much more than you realize. God is a God that works both publicly and behind the scenes. Amen? Behind the scenes. He doesn't tell you everything that he's doing, but he certainly is doing many things. And I trust that a lot of us, as we go forward here, now we're looking to coming out of a phase of our lives where we're kind of sheltered in place. And now we're going to be getting back out more into the world and having conversations with people. Are you ready for those conversations? Are you ready to express to other people how God's goodness has delivered you to where you are today? Are you ready to express to people God's goodness? Are you ready to talk to people about what God is doing in your life? And I would ask that you pray about that, because we are at a different phase of life right now, where we're being challenged to look to God, be obedient to his will, focus on what his word is, and focus on how we are to speak to others about Christ. Always being prepared and ready. Paul is telling Titus to keep teaching and stand firm on that teaching. In spite of false teachers being in his midst, he still needs to keep teaching these things. So that's what is being said to him here about looking forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. Let's go back to Titus 2. Let's look at verse 14. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Totally committed to doing good deeds. And we're doing the good deeds not just for the sake of doing good deeds. We're doing them because we're honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of things about quid pro quo. You know, if I do this for you, you can do this for me. Well, that's not what this is. There's nothing like that at all. We do these good deeds because we truly want to do the good deeds, because we truly understand what it is to have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to be obedient to him and to serve him. And we need to understand that because he is removing sin from our lives, he's cleansed us, he's cleansing us. He cleanses us the moment we ask for forgiveness for sin. And but we have to ask for it, of course, but he immediately recognizes that sin and gets it out of your life and says that you have been cleansed from that sin. And so we need to, it says here that he freed us from sin, he redeemed us by purchasing our release from captivity of sin with a ransom. And that's back in Mark 10, verse 45. I won't get into all of that. We'll save that for another time. But he basically paid a ransom for us. And that ransom, frankly, was his death on the cross. He gave his life for us so that we would have eternal life and we would be free from that death sentence of sin. The death sentence of sin. If Christ did not do what he did on the cross for us, because guess what? We were all sentenced to death, and we were not going to have fellowship with the Lord because of our sinful nature. No amount of sacrifices that the people were doing in the Old Testament were going to redeem them from this, as far as those issues of eternal life and being in fellowship with the Lord. But we need to recognize that we're also being purified. We're being purified. We're growing daily as we trust and listen to the Holy Spirit, as we remain obedient to him. We're growing daily. We're growing in all ways, shapes, and forms, with our behaviors, with our attitudes, the things that we hold on to, we don't hold on to anymore if they're not important. These are all things that we need to learn as we can continue our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are purified from sin's influence as we grow in Christ. What does that mean? Those things that we used to do in sin, we don't do them anymore. Those things that we would readily do that were sinful, we just don't have a desire to do them anymore. We don't want to do them. That's called purification. That's called sanctification. If you're still stuck on those same sins from when you were before you were a believer, and you're not being released from those, then something's going on that's not positive in your life. You should now, because you're focusing on Christ, recognize that you're not stuck on those sins anymore. You're making a recovery from that. And in many ways, a lot of us are in recovery for life. Amen? There are behaviors that a lot of us aren't proud of that we took part in when we were non-believers. We're not proud of them. We don't relish in them. They don't say, them were the good old days. No, those weren't the good old days. There's nothing good about anything that you were doing if you were sinning against God. So we don't relish on those things, and we're not proud of them, and we don't dwell on them either, because we recognize that that's in the past, and our future is in Christ and in our reliance upon Christ. And we are thankful that we are purified from sin's influence because of what Christ did for us on the cross and what he did for us when we became believers in Christ. The indwelling Holy Spirit helps us to see that those things that we were doing before were abominations before the Lord, frankly, and we need to recognize that he has cleansed us with the power of the Holy Spirit to help us through those situations. So we need to make sure that we are living in such a way where we're honoring Christ. We are free from the sentence of death from sin. So we are to live in such a way where we're honoring Jesus Christ, if for no other reason than for gratitude. How grateful are you right now for Christ's presence? How grateful are you for what he did for you on the cross many, many years ago? He took care of your sin, past, present, and future, because you believed in him, because you're trusting in him. And that's important for us to see, too. The world doesn't understand that. The world picks up the Bible or looks at you and says, I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, frankly, the Bible is written for people who really believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and want to know more about him. The Bible is just another book to the non-believer. But if the Spirit is speaking to that person and is telling that person of the importance of Christ, then the Bible will make sense to that person, because that's what Christ is doing to teach them. Verse 15, you must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. And this is Paul again speaking to Titus. Titus 2, verse 15. You must teach these things and encourage the believers to do them. You have the authority to correct them when necessary, so don't let anyone disregard what you say. So Paul is telling Titus to teach the scriptures as well as to live them. So Titus, you know, of course, he's not to be speaking these truths and then living like a clown when, you know, he's away from church or doing whatever he wants to do. He's supposed to be teaching these things and living in them in the same way. That's exactly what needs to be happening here. He's telling them to teach, encourage, and correct others when necessary, because there will be needs for correction. Correction is necessary in many cases because people have a misunderstanding about scripture or have a wrong teaching. Maybe they heard something from somewhere else that was incorrect, and there will be a need for correction. We've had to correct people here in our own church to make sure they understand the truth, And we need to do that publicly sometimes, because if it comes out in a class or a class setting, and if we don't do that, then we're allowing people just to not think about what is the true meaning of what is being said. So we're going to be very active to correct people who are publicly saying things that are not correct. And I trust that those individuals who speak up and say those things, I hope they have a thick skin, because that's going to be necessary. But correction is good in a lot of ways. There are things that we maybe have understood in Scripture before when we were younger. We find out in practicality, it really wasn't what was being taught. It may be just more of an understanding that's being infused into the way you're thinking. But we need to go back and look at the context of everything we've looked at, look at what is being said here. Just like the idea about slavery. We should correct people when we say that the Bible condones slavery. The Bible never condoned slavery. Our people in the past who were maybe back during the Civil War times and all that, they condoned slavery, but the Bible never did. So we need to understand the true teachings that are going on here and not infuse public opinion or thinking into reasoning. That's very, very important for all of us to remember. We must teach, encourage, and correct others when necessary. There may be people who are older or wealthier who have influence in the community where you might hesitate to correct them. Well, they need to be corrected anyway, because if they're wrong, they're wrong. Look, the matter of if slaves and free people are being taught in the passage here to act in a such a way that is the proper behavior, you need to correct people, whatever age they're in, if the truth is not being said, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And don't be threatened by someone's stature. If they're teaching incorrectly, then you tell them that, because they need to hear that they're being taught incorrectly. First of all, understand something. What is the motivation for someone to teach incorrectly? There is all kinds of motivation for that person to teach incorrectly if they're trying to get over on something, if they're trying to get ahead on something, if they're trying to maintain influence. Understand something. That was the whole argument that the Pharisees and Sadducees had against Jesus. They didn't want Jesus to have influence. So they would say all kinds of things to try to throw him off his game. And of course, they never did. And that was to their consternation. And that was to their chagrin and their demise, because we need to understand that Jesus was the truth right in their eyes, right before them. Speak the truth no matter what, no matter what is going on or where you are. Speak the truth. You do it all with humility. Just as it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, be humble about it. Be humble with your approach, but speak the truth. Don't hesitate to speak the truth. Very important for us to see that. Okay. We've covered the passage very nicely here. I wanted to make sure that we did that and did it in a timely manner so that we can take these truths with us as we go forward today. And remember this teaching, that it's very important for us to always speak the truth. Stay obedient to His Word, no matter who you're talking to, no matter who you're dealing with, no matter who you are as a person, whatever stature you're in, always be truthful, always live in truth. Live in such a way, even though no one's looking, where you're honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that you set aside for us to just go over your word and go after truth and speak truth. I thank you, Lord, for recall. I thank you for helping me to remember a verse that was very important for us to communicate today. I thank you for that, Lord, and I pray that all of us remember these words that are being said and go back and look at scriptures and passages and just go and put them on your minds, put them on our minds, and put them on our hearts, that we remember what you have to say to us. Lord, we want to be obedient to you. We want to look to you. Help us to be strong in this area. Help us to resist temptation and those things that take us away from you and take our focus off of you. We thank you for the good results, Lord. We just thank you and give you honor, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for being here. God bless you all. For those of you in Akron, we'll see you down in Akron in about a half hour or so. Praise the Lord, and many blessings to all of you. We just want to make sure that you're just recognizing God's goodness in all things that you do. You guys take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next time.